Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around. So I am just in my makeshift studio right now and I'm cleaning and it just brought something up that had actually popped in this morning, and then I went about my day, client calls, all this kind of jazz, doing some human design stuff, and then it popped back in while I was cleaning. So something monumental that is so not monumental happened today. I had this orange chair that was in the Office Collective. I called it the Alice in Wonderland chair. It was beautifully designed and like a collector piece. It's by this designer furniture design place called Andre World. And it was like a super expensive chair when it was designed in 97, and it's stunning. And when I closed the office, I couldn't bring myself to sell it because I was just still too close to it. So it came home with me and pride of place kind of in our bedroom for a number of years until we moved into this house. And this house is a two-bedder and there's just not room for it. So it's been shoved in a corner of my makeshift office with shit all over it, just like boxes of stuff I hadn't unpacked. And it's in a spot where the freezer used to be. So it's all dusty and gross. Anyway, I had put the chair on online. So I stuck it on Gumtree. I stuck it in Facebook Marketplace. And it's literally sat there for like, the last 6 months. And not a single bite, but I just kind of left it there because I was like, maybe one day someone will see it and want it. I'm just going to check that I'm recording. Yes, I am. Great. So a couple of days ago, got a random message from someone. Oh my God, I love this chair. I must have it. And so she came around today, fabulous woman, and it's going to go to a fabulous home. And she said, oh, you must be really sad to see this go. And I was like, not really, actually. It's a beautiful chair and I love it, but I'm actually really also happy to let it go to a new home where someone's going to love it more than I do and more than I have over the years. Because really, it's not like it's a reminder of my failure or anything, but energetically, it's still just kind of keeping me, I don't know, tired maybe, I don't know. But I was ready to let it go and I was so excited to have someone who's going to love it take it, because it is a beautiful chair and it deserves a beautiful home and it deserves to be used, not have shit piled all over it. So it went and there's this bloody great mess that I'm tidying up now, and I was just thinking about this failure piece. I was thinking about how kind of symbolic it is that now is the time where the chair gets picked up, because it's such a great time professionally for me. Yesterday, I drove up to Brisbane. I spent the day with a team that I've been kind of managing and producing their podcast for the past couple of years, and it's really meaningful, impactful work, you know, and it just lights my soul on fire. I've spent all week in calls with my frequency mastermind peeps, and I'm just like really professionally loving where I'm at. And personally, I don't feel like a failure anymore. I really have, through this podcast, I guess, managed to reframe that. And I wanted to bring this here because I know there are so many people who are afraid of failure. So they just don't do it. They don't take action, right? And it's not even about the action piece. It's about, you know, trying to perfect something in order to avoid failure. And actually, I feel like, this is going to sound like a bit feminist of me, but I feel like it's actually a patriarchal construct, right? Like this need for us to be perfect, and particularly for women, to be risk averse and avoid failure at all costs, is actually, like a patriarchal construct. So I guess I just want to check in and see if you are avoiding sharing yourself with the world, speaking your truth, taking a risk because of the fear of failure. Having been someone, who used to actually see myself as a fuck up and a failure because there were so many things that hadn't worked, I now see that it's actually part of my design. You know, like it's actually part of my human design, which I'm really into, if you haven't picked that up already. As a 1-3 projector, my role is to, you know, research and experiment. And before I had all this stuff around it being, you know, nothing worked for me because I was a failure, but it was really just me experimenting. And the experimentation has led me to this place where I feel like I am hitting my strides professionally and finally working with incredible people and the recognition that I feel like I deserve. It's all happening. And it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't gone through all the failures in order to kind of become okay with failure, because I always know it's leading to something good. It's all going to work out. You know, there's that saying, and I don't actually like it anymore. It's not over till the fat lady sings. Fat lady singing. And it's like, oh no, that's not what it is. That's not the saying at all. No. That isn't, I've had a crazy day. I'm actually delirious. That's actually not the saying I was looking for. The saying I was looking for was, oh God, now it's gone again. How embarrassing. See, right? So not afraid of failure. I can just like be in the awkwardness of not knowing and wait, you know, just be okay with like this awkwardness where I have the potential to look like a dickhead, but it's okay. So the saying is, it's a John Lennon quote, and it's totally escaping me right now. It's something around, it was on Juliana and Bill, like ages ago when Juliana and Bill used to be on. maybe I'll have to Google it and come back. And then you know what's going to happen. I'm going to turn around to my computer and boom, it's going to be in my brain again. But I'm going to turn around and I'm going to Google. Right, so John Lennon quote about life. Yeah, thanks Google. Let's see. Oh yeah. It's not over. Oh no, that's no. What is it? Here it is. Okay, I found it. Hashtag awkward. Everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. That is the quote I was looking for. And so funny because it's always there. And I ended up going with, it's not over till the fat lady sings. Oh, what the fuck? Anyway, that's the quote I'm looking for. And that is what I kind of have reframed, I guess, is like everything is okay in the end. Oh, actually, in the end, we're dead, right? Like we're dead. And then who knows what happens from there, but we're dead. So whatever has happened in this lifetime isn't actually going to matter anymore, except to the people who love us, maybe. And even then, we're not really responsible for that. So I don't want to get to the end of my life and go, oh, fuck, I wish I'd tried that. That is actually one of my dear friends is Bronnie Ware, and we did an event together last year, and she has been a guest in way in the back catalogue of Carlosophies. You know, her book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, It's one of the top five regrets is getting to the end of your life and thinking, I wish I had done things. Oh, I can't even remember what the quote is. Oh my God, I'm so fucking bad with quotes today. Oh, why am I recording this podcast? Anyway, the top five regrets are something around, I don't know what the five are, but one is about like looking back on your life and wishing you hadn't cared what other people thought. And, you know, getting to the end of your life and wishing that you had sung your song, that you had lived your life to the full, that you had done what you really wanted to do. In order for us to really have an impact in our life, and I'm not talking external impact like fame and fortune, I'm talking like, you know, impact. You having an impact even on your own life, knowing that you sang the song, knowing that you not emptied your tank, but you know what I mean? Like knowing you gave life a fucking go. It's something that you may very much may regret at the end of your life. And the only thing that is stopping us a lot of the time is that fear of judgment and fear of failure. And fear of rejection. I am intimate with all three. I'm intimate. Fear of rejection. Oh my God, I'm a voiceover artist. I'm rejected on a daily basis for my voice, the one thing that, you know, connects me to my truth. My valve and outlet for expression is also the thing that I am most rejected for. And I've come to be okay with that, because it's not really that personal. And I've also become okay with that in the me being me sense too. There are going to be people who do not fucking get me. They think, you know, they can think whatever they want to think, and I'm not even going to attempt to think what they think. But, you know, I am not for everyone. Not by a fucking long shot. And in fact, was deeply, deeply, deeply afraid of rejection. So I was trying to fit in, trying to fit in the box, trying to prove my worth, prove my value all the fucking time. And I just ended up exhausted and fucking miserable. And so, and the same thing with judgment, right? I had this like programming that was, don't be a dickhead. Everyone's going to think you're a dickhead. Don't do that. Everyone's going to think you're a dickhead. What are they going to think? They're going to think you're a dickhead. So I didn't do a lot of things because I was so afraid of what other people thought. And I kind of got over that too, right? Because living my life for, I want to live my life for others, but I want to live my life for the others that see me, that recognize me. And that doesn't happen when you try to please everyone. That isn't of service for you, right? Like if I'm protecting myself and trying not to be, trying to get everyone to like me, because I'm afraid of their judgment and I'm afraid of rejection, it's actually not in service of the very people I want to serve, which is you guys, the people who listen to my podcast, the people who are my clients. I'm here for you. I'm not here for everyone else. And so the more and more I become connected to that truth and my truth and express that into the world, the more service I can actually be. And the third one, fear of failure. Well, there is no way for us to learn without failing. There is no way for us to properly embody without try and shit on. And I think I might have said this either in last week's podcast or maybe in a Facebook Live in the group. You can't practice in your head and that, okay, so, well, there's two schools of thought there, really, because what do they say? Like, it actually, if someone is imagining themselves running, they're actually doing the preparation and their body believes they're kind of like running. So, you know, that kind of mental prep stuff does have an impact on some people. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, if you're not, like, for want of a better term, to quote Brené Brown, if you're not in the arena, get in the fucking arena, right? because while you're sitting on the sidelines watching, that's really great from an observer's perspective to see. Sometimes it's great to observe and see, oh yeah, okay, so that's how that's done. Oh yeah, look, oh, I could find a better way to do that because, you know, watching this person, you know, making wrong moves and all that kind of jazz. Oh yeah, that's something I could do. But until you're actually in there and you're actually playing the sport, you don't know, right? Like I go in my head, oh yeah, I could totally do a handstand or whatever. And then I go to do one. Nobody needs to see that shit because I cannot do one. It's like, you know, my head also, I don't know, it's kind of like those memes that are like me, how I think I look when I'm dancing at 4 a.m. in a club, how I actually look like when I'm dancing in a club, you know, those memes. It's kind of like that. Like that's me doing a handstand. But I'm never going to be able to do a handstand unless I'm doing a fucking handstand. Yeah? So I got to practice. I got to do it and not be afraid of falling over and learn each time. This worked. Maybe I could try it this way differently next time. This felt good. This felt bad. You know what? I actually don't even want to fucking do a handstand. Why? What was I thinking? It's not important to me anymore. You know, so you can learn so much through just doing. But while you're afraid of falling flat on your face, nothing magical is happening. So that's really all I want to say today is check yourself. Check your fear of failure, check your fear of judgment, check your fear of rejection, and no, none of that shit is real. And you staying in a small place because you're afraid of those things is having the opposite impact that you actually desire. And you know what? Men have not been afraid of failure, not all men, but generally, they're like, this is where I'm talking about the patriarchal construct stuff, right? They're mostly, you know, like dust it off, back in you go. And girls have been protected from that stuff. So of course we're afraid of it because we've been taught to be compliant, polite, perfect. And when you're not those things, you are going to make waves. But isn't that what we really want? To make waves? I'm making a massive assumption here, but my guess is if you're listening to this podcast, there is a part of you that desires to make some fucking waves. But if you're staying small due to fear of judgment, rejection, or failure, you're not even able to make a ripple. So yeah, check it, forget it. And go do a fucking handstand. Just kidding, don't. Okay, peace out. Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimmo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.